message. I had a lot of titles, and I just ended up, I scribbled one out, and the blood of Jesus covers all. Amen. There's nothing here this morning that the blood of Jesus has left out. The blood that was shed covers all. In other words, anything and everything you've been through, covered. Anything you're going through right now, covered. Anything you might go through tomorrow, covered. How you say? Through the blood. It's kind of hard as I got to break down God's word to, the blood's going to cover me? And who's going to pay my bills? The blood. See, the blood gives us an opportunity to be cleansed and washed of the things of the world, to be able to live correctly. Amen. Give correctly. Amen. I will say, if you ain't giving right, you ain't living right. You're not living according to how the Lord would want to bless your life and for you to live and to be an example. Amen. The blood of Jesus covers all. Let's get into the word here this day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Amen. I pray that everybody give their focus, their attention. The Bible says the Word was God and God was the Word. I just happen to be His spokesman here this day, but it is God that is going to be speaking here this day. And it's something that, on a topic that's very important, and what has already been done in order for us to be here. Amen? The Bible reads, "For you know that God paid a ransom." Reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. There's a few different words it might use. They all mean the same. Amen? "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." There goes, I spoke from the generational curses. Amen? Empty life you inherited from your ancestors. The Bible goes on to read, "And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." I'm going to repeat it all over again. Get me back to verse 18. I'm going to stay on these two verses. I got two other scriptures I'm going to bounce to, but just to get back to verse 18 and 19. Amen. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you move me to the side, Lord, that you speak to your people this day, Lord, on what has already been done brings victory today and forevermore. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. The word ransom, redeem. I know when I got saved, I didn't know what it meant. Amen? But the vocabulary meaning for the word ransom is a certain amount paid or demanded for the release of someone or something from captivity. Amen? Have you ever watched a movie, amen, a shoot 'em up thriller movie, and they hijack a plane or they kidnap somebody, and you want your daughter back, I want $1 million, meet me in the back of the Pick and Save parking lot. But if you don't, there's a ransom. You see a movie and they set a price, a ransom. That's someone that they have in captivity. They have kidnapped. Amen? That's the regular Webster breakdown of the word ransom. Now, when we look at that same word ransom in the Greek and how the Bible sees it, amen? It's a Greek word. It says from the base meaning of slave redemption in the marketplace. It was a place where slaves would be paid a certain ransom to be set free from slavery. Amen? And the word ransom derives from there. It comes from the figure of sinners in our case, today's case, the case of 2,000 years ago. What it really means and wants to say here this day to us comes from the figure of sinners redeemed by God from slavery to sin and death. We know that the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. So here this ransom, God paid a ransom for your life and my life, for the life of the world. And the ransom, the amount paid to set you and I free from sin, from being enslaved to sin and death, was his son, was the ransom. The very life of Jesus was the ransom, what it took to set you and I free from the slavery of the sinful lives that we were living. Nothing else could do it. I tried them all. I tried many ways to set myself free from addiction. And nothing year after year after year even remotely came close to working. My situation became worse and worse and worse. My mom and dad try to pay the price, try to be the sacrifice to set their son free. Education, the prison system. I tried everything, and nothing was able to set me free of the bondage of addiction, the bondage of sin that was taking place within my life. I wasn't highly educated, but I graduated high school. Today, that means a lot. I was raised up properly. And all the morals my mother and father showed me were not able to set me free from the slavery, from the addiction, the bondage of the sin that was abiding within my life. Nothing could do it. And I believe here this Sunday morning, I'm not the only one. I believe that all of us have tried numerous of different things to get our lives right, on track, to do the right thing, to be successful, to not be bouncing from address to address, from one side of town to the other side of town, leaving the state, going from one prison to another prison, one job to another job, from one relationship to another relationship. We have all tried many ways to get what we know it is within us to do what is right, to come forth, and we have all failed miserably. We all failed. The educated, uneducated alike, we all fail. What side of the tracks you came from, we all fail. Something took place over 2,000 years ago that most educated folks don't have a clue about. To set them free, instead of counting on someone else or something and doing only what Jesus was able to do. And I believe there's many here this day that need a breakthrough. There's addiction still taking place, plaguing your life. There's things that are still hindering you, whether it's the opposite sex, an addiction, schooling, or whatever it might be. A job, finances. There's things that are pending right now and you're trying to figure it out. And you find yourself at church here this morning. I'm going to give you the answer that's going to give you that breakthrough that you know is within you. Some of you might be feeling a little bit forced being here this morning. You might be here because of some other reason. God's hand's in it. If you find yourself here this morning, God's hand of grace and mercy is in on it. It's called the Holy Ghost setup. Amen. So we come to find out here this word ransom. It was a price that not only Jesus paid, but was the only one that could pay it. In order for the ransom that was paid to work in your life and within my life, to remove sin, the deception works of the enemy. Amen? I have a point here. Satan has no skin color preference when it comes to sin. He don't care what color you are. He don't even care what side of the tracks you came up on, you were raised on. He don't care what the name of your gang was, whether it was the little wannabe gang you were part of or the real deal gang member. He really don't care whether you got a good job or you got a minimum paying job. He really don't care whether you just got married or you've been married for 50 years. He really don't care. His job is to deceive us and keep us in the keeping power of sin. He really don't care how old you are either. If you let him, he'll keep you till your dying day. So here, the enemy don't really care what's going on in your life right now. He just don't want you to come to the revelation, the saving grace revelation of what he did for you many, many, many years ago. He wants to keep it way in the back of your mind. Not within your conscience that on a daily basis, as we did today, be reminded of what he did on the cross. See, the work of the enemy is that you're not reminded in the ransom that was paid for your salvation for you to be here this morning. He wants you to be here strictly through religion basis. It's Sunday and it's a day to go to church. But there's a reason we're here at church here this morning. And it's because of the ransom that was paid, of the very life of Jesus. Blood was shed on the cross, a perfect plan of the Father in a very imperfect world and imperfect people that fall short on a daily basis. But yet the plan was perfect. Bible goes on to say that the sinless, spotless, it was a spotless work. A work that only Jesus could do within your life and my life. And I put here in my notes, I don't know about you, but I was held captive, enslaved to drugs for many years. Nothing was able to set me free. But I got my notes here with five little stars with an arrow going up. But one day, as I was minding my own business in prison, the blood of Jesus made its way into my sinful life. 20 years later, the blood of Jesus is still having its way in and through my life. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers all. And the blood of Jesus continues to work in my life and through my life. Continues to work in your life and through your life. Because there's so many still out there lost and bound. Not because that's just the cards that were handed out to them, but just simply because they don't have the knowledge of what Christ has done. They have not the knowledge that the ransom has been paid in full. That they don't have to remain in that condition, being enslaved to some street corner, some prison. But that the ransom has already been paid. Their breakthrough in life, their purpose, they're just not knowing. And that's why it's very important here as the church and disciples of the Lord that we spread the good gospel that says that the ransom has been paid. In California, You can be bailed out. We have bail bondsmen out there in California. They don't have them here. If you get busted, the judge places a bail bonds on whatever the case was that they got on you. It gets more expensive, and somebody can come and bail you out using their house. Amen. They put their cars on the line to bail you out. That while you're going through court, you can be on the outside, amen, instead of being in prison. And man, when we ask people to bail us out and they say no, we get mad. But all those that are lost and currently lost and bound right now, every last one of them are bailed out. The ransom has been paid. They don't have to remain in that condition. But I believe within the church this morning, there's a condition within some of your all's lives that shouldn't be. Because you've been called to be free, free indeed. It's one thing to be enslaved, lost and bound in addiction or within the things of the world. But to remain in that condition within the church, something's wrong. Because when the blood of Jesus was shed, there was power. Yes, death came, but then came on the third day the resurrection power. When a man or a woman or a youth member truly gets saved, yes, we must go through the process of dying to self, but only to have the perfect plan of the Father to bring forth a resurrection power into your life and my life. A resurrection power that all may be able to see and know that it was God that set you free. In verse 18, the Bible reads, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." An empty life. Sin has a way of deceiving you by filling your life with so-called fun. Sin has a way of coming into our lives and filling our lives where there's no room for nothing else but sin. Sin has a way of deceiving lives and filling one's life with the so-called fun, because that's the way sin starts. It starts as something as fun. We call it, let's go party. Let's go out tonight. Let's go have fun. Sin has a way of deceiving you by filling your life with so-called fun. I put here, just to leave you empty. Just to leave you empty. I call it high and dry. All of a sudden, what used to fill and occupy your life, all of a sudden turns into a bondage. Years go by, and you look into the mirror and say, I have not accomplished nothing with the empty lifestyle that I've been living. Yes, sin has a way of filling one's life, but ultimately, its purpose is to leave one empty, powerless, weak. God's grace has a way of filling you with His truth, I have here on my notes. If you're feeling empty this morning, nothing is going right within your life. There's a void within your life. You're feeling empty. You know that something better is around the corner. There's a void within your life. Sin has left you empty. If you're feeling empty this morning, it's simply an opportunity for God to fill you with His love and purpose that He has for your life. Verse 18 says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. It goes on to say, and it was not paid. See, you can't set nobody free with mere gold and silver. The Bible is letting us really know in what did not save you and I. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Which lose their value. I want to touch on that. Which lose their value. All the things of the world that at one time in my life for many years that held me captive have now lost their value within my life. The many things that filled my life that were from the world, the chasing of the opposite sex, the money, the cars, the popularity, all the false promises of the enemy. All those things that I put as a priority in my life, that filled my life, that was who I was. Because of the blood of Jesus, have now lost their value within my life. What used to turn me on, don't turn me on any longer. There are things of the past life that I lived that at once inhabited my life, filled my life. But the devil never told me the full truth. He gave me a half truth. He never told me the part about going to prison. Never told me the part about losing my family. He never told me from being a big drug dealer, from being a nickel-diming dope fiend user in the street corner. He didn't tell me that part. All he could give me was a half-truth. And a half-truth will always be a lie. See, here this day, the Lord wants to give you the truth. The Bible says the truth that sets the captive free. Free indeed. There's a truth taking place as I speak right now. The words I'm using are the words of Christ. They were not words that once filled my life. For the words that once filled my life were not the ones I'm speaking here this morning. All the things of the world that at one time in my life for many years that held me captive have now lost their value within my life. Verse 19. The Bible reads, gives us the answer. It wasn't mere gold and silver. Amen. Gives us the answer. The Bible reads, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The precious blood of Jesus, 20 years later, has still not lost its value within my life. I put here on my notes this day. It has not lost its value. If anything, it has gained in value. For I have decreased to allow the Lord to increase within my life. 20 years later, the value of the precious blood of Jesus within my life has not lost its value, has not lost its priority place of being first within my life. Over all the things that are being invented and all the new fads that this world comes up with on a daily, the precious blood of Jesus has still kept its value within my life. Why? It works. Why? It's truth. It has taken me from glory to glory. And that same truth that I heard 20 years ago, you're hearing today. The same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. The blood of Jesus covers all. Anything and everything you've been going through, maybe just for a season, maybe for many years. You've been held in bondage and slavery, not knowing that a ransom has already been paid for you to be set free. That's the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, this is one of my Pastor Herb's scripture. The Bible says, get the truth and never sell it. Never sell the truth. Because when the day comes that you're willing to sell the truth, is the day when you're willing once again to buy a lie. The Bible says, get the truth and never sell it. It's also able to bring you wisdom, discipline, and good judgment to do what is right instead of failing in the same area of sin over and over and over. Too many sell the truth to live the lies of the world. They get on Facebook and they Facebook gets their attention, and then before you know it, they're looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, even though you're paying for your phone. Don't mean you can see whatever you want to see on it. Don't mean you can call whoever you want to call on it because you're the one paying the bill. See, when you stick to the truth and you don't become a sellout, too many are willing to sell out for a cigarette, sell out for a beer, sell out for some scary Mary, sell out for some job, sell out for some car. Remember, all that stuff you sell out, the silver and gold, cannot set you free, cannot remove the sin from your life. Silver and gold can't do that. But silver and gold can enslave you. It's the precious blood of Jesus, the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that we're supposed to get and hold on to it. Never sell the truth. But too many sell the truth for a lie that feels good, that caters to our fleshly desires. You sell the truth. In Hebrews chapter 10, 11 through 12, I preached out of last Sunday. The Bible says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day. I want you to catch that the priest stands. In other words, all day long, amen, and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. Can never take away sins. Verse 12. But our high priest, which is Jesus, but our high priest offered himself to go to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Remember that the blood of Jesus covers all. Good for all time. Then he sat down. Remember, the first priest stands all day long, day after day. But yet the priest, now of the new covenant, speaking on the person of Jesus, the Bible says, then he sat down. He was a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. He didn't have to keep doing it day after day. Amen? Then he sat down. The priest of the old covenant stands up all day long, day after day. Jesus, the priest of the new covenant, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Under the Old Testament, amen. Under the Old Testament, the priest stands day after day. In other words, there's no rest when we're sacrificing without getting results. There's no rest. And too many times we think we're doing what is right and we continue to sacrifice. Go to work daily, every day, and we continue to sacrifice every day. But yet there's no rest in our soul. No peace. In verse 12, the Bible, under the New Testament, the priest would, which is now we're speaking about Jesus. The Bible says, after he was the all-time, one-time sacrifice, the Bible says that he sat down. That he sat down. A difference here. Jesus was, the Bible says there at the last three lines of the one before, he says, then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Under the New Testament, here Jesus sits down. Shows to me represents rest. Somebody resting. Somebody not having to worry about doing the same thing over and over without getting results. It shows Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, a place of honor, a place of authority. also a place of being in control. See, the problem with our lives, a lot of times we try to take control of everything. Day after day, and we work harder, we sacrifice more and more and more. When our trust, our reliance should be on Jesus and what he did. Not much, so much on us and what we do, but on Jesus and what he did. Question, let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 reads, and there he waits. Right after 12, he sits. And the Bible says, and he sits. He's in control. How many love to sit down when something's got to be done and you got to take over? You can't do it by sitting down. But here the Bible says in verse 12 that he sits at the right hand of the Father. Verse 13 says, there he waits. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. I have a question here this morning. I'm getting ready to close already. Pastor's shutting it down earlier now. Amen? Question is, do you know how the Lord humbles his enemies? The Bible says there he waits until his enemies are humbled. Do you know how the Lord humbles his enemies? My answer to that is by first humbling us. By first humbling us. This is the way the Lord humbles the work of the enemy. Because we're either feeding the work of the enemy or putting to an end the work of the enemy. Because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary, wipes away all the sins of the world. By first humbling us, that's the way the Lord humbles his enemies. It's through us that the Lord humbles his enemies. It's through us. There was a time that the enemy had full reign of our lives through addiction or whatever it might have been. But then the blood of Jesus makes its way into your life and starts removing the sins from your life. And we start humbling ourselves to be teachable to whoever's discipling, to whoever's working with us. But too many don't want to be humble because they're not teachable. They're not teachable. And they'll rather stay thinking they know everything, stay at the same place, instead of being used as a vessel, an instrument that the Lord is able to humble his enemies through. When I said no to the addiction of smoking cigarettes that day I gave it up 20 years ago, that smoking spirit of the enemy was humbled. It had to go from my life. And first Jesus started, you know, first he started with his feet up a little bit. Amen. I gave up the cigarettes. Ah, there we go. No more smoking. It's Pastor Charlie's life. Then the woman thing left. Woo, his footstool got a little taller. No. Woo, all right. And then, oh my God, let me go put the camera up already. And then the other thing left, and man, Jesus like chilling out with my life. Humbling, defeating the work of the enemy. The Bible says there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. I just want to know, is Jesus still flat-footed in your life? Yeah. Have some of you made him flat-footed? Our humbleness unto the Lord is to defeat and humble the work of the enemy. I gave up drinking. Boom! The spirit of alcohol got humbled right out of my life. I gave up this spirit got humbled right out of my life. Because I reached the place in my life through the precious blood of Jesus that now I had the authority to say, no more. I'm not going to do that stuff no more. I'm not going to let stuff of the world hinder what the God of the heavens and the earth wants to do in and through my life. I will not let a cigarette, a beer, a woman take me out from the purpose and plan of God that he has for my life. I want the footstool of the Lord to be high. I want it to be the size of a mountain of all the sin and evil spirits that were humbled and removed out of my life. Too many of you all are making a footstool, you know, under the feet of the devil. When the footstool is meant for Jesus, because he's truly the one in control. When I pray in my office, I have a footstool. I literally put my feet up when I pray. I'm in a place where I know I'm not in control. I put my feet up on my footstool that I can stay in there for hours, and I trust because I know who's in control. And that allows me to put my feet up like everything's going perfect when it's not. But it is in the eyes of Jesus. I have a footstool in my office. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. How does he humble his enemy? By first humbling us. My last point, what the Lord has already done covers everything the enemy is trying to do. See, the enemy's still trying to get you to do this, trying to keep you where you're at. Jesus saying, it's done. On the cross, he said, after the blood was shed, it is finished. It's finished. There's no longer room for excuses within our lives to not answer the call of God that's speaking clearly here this Sunday morning. You would have to be a mute. Even the man with a legion of spirits within his life. That preaching, it wasn't the man that ran to Jesus. It was all them spirits, 6,000, that ran to Jesus. That man was captive, in bondage, filled with evil spirits, just like I was at one time in my life, until the blood of Jesus made his way in with the purpose of working through my life. And that's what he wants to do in your life this day. But in order to build that footstool under the feet of Jesus, we're going to have to say no to the works of the enemy. The blood of Jesus did not only take away our sins, but the blood of Jesus defeated the forces, the root, the things that are behind us that cause us to sin. See, a lot of times we think he took the blood, but we continue sinning, so our lives get filled with sin again. Jesus did not only deal with the sin, he dealt with the root and the sources of sin, the forces of sin. Every evil spirit's on check right now. Ain't got nothing on you unless you give them action. Sin of the world was not just removed, but the evil forces were also defeated upon that day as well. The root of why the manifestation of our sins take place has also been dealt with also. The things we don't see, the things we ain't aware about, and why we do these things. Jesus even defeated the roots of the things that we're not even aware of this morning. And that's why it's very important to have a relationship with the Lord, spend time with the Lord every day, for He can show you step by step and light and illuminate what needs to be dealt with in your life right now. And every time it gets dealt with, the enemy gets humbled and the footstool of Jesus gets just a little bit more comfortable. A little bit more comfortable. I now got a bed that does all that stuff. When my legs get all swollen, I'm like, they're almost like a bat upside down in my bed. I'm like, I'm trying to look over the bed or watch my TV. I don't think Jesus needs the footstool that high, amen? You want the work of the enemy to stop in your life? You got to be teachable. You got to be humble. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The blood of Jesus covers all. There's nothing He can't do, and there's a lot of things we can't do. Cannot allow a little substance to rule and control our lives, though it did in my life for many years. Never what started off as fun would I have ever thought would lead me to bondage, enslaved. Never would I've ever thought something that started off as fun would leave me walking the streets high and dry. That's why my grandma said, you play with fire, you're going to get burned, boy. One of these days, you're going to get burned. Too many times we're still trying to mess with the things of the world, knowing. You know how you know they're not good for you? You do it in secrecy. You're sneaking around all the time. Always sneaking around. Always sneaking around. Oh, here comes the pastor. Always sneaking around. Hey, pastor. Church is over. Sneaking around. Oh, sneaking around. Sneaking around. Can they see me? No, they may not be able to see you, but He sees all things. Because He covers all things. He knows all things. So He must be able to see all things. And that's to our benefit, that He sees all things when the enemy's coming unfairly within our lives, within our marriage, our children. God's on point. He sees all things. His eye goes to and fro. It's not just the eye of the enemy. It's a good thing that Jesus is able to see us, whether we're hiding or not. Preached a message long time ago about playing hide and go seek with Jesus. In the house, we used to play it all day long, same hiding places in the living room. You could only go so far. I see you, hide and go seek. It's one thing to play hide and go seek with church members, with your pastor if you want. Have at it. To play hide-and-go-seek with, don't ever play hide-and-go-seek with God. He don't play fair. Because there's nothing you can hide behind. There's nothing you can hide behind that God can't see. And it's not because He wants to bust you out, put you under the bus. It's because He loves you. Whenever we start sneaking around, it's just a matter of time. Sneaking around. This is the way we're supposed to walk, not like. Yeah, a lot of people walking like that. Shh. Somebody's coming. That cool dude, man. Going through all these head games. Where to hide this stuff? I used to get so confused. I had hiding places all over the place. Playing hide and go seek with God. You'll never win. You'll never win. He knows every hiding place. He knows every hiding place. He knows every sin. There's nothing that is new that's taking place that he's not up on. Everything that's taking place today, the Bible says, has already taken place under the sun. Ain't nothing new. Everything that he dealt with 2,000 years ago still pertains to today as we stand this day. You know, when you win on the game, hide and go seek, and then you're the one that counts to 100 or says the ABC or whatever, the way you play it, amen? When you play hide and go seek with God, he's never going to be the one hiding, because he'll never lose in the game called hide and go seek. You don't want to play hide and go seek with God. You'll always find yourself having to hide every time. You'll never beat God in the game of hide and go seek, where you count to 100 and he goes hides, and then you go see if you can find him. Father, this day we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we know that you love us, Lord. For that was not true, we wouldn't find ourselves in church on a Sunday morning. I thank you that you broke the chains of bondage from my life, Lord. From the ransom of your life, your precious blood, Lord. But the ransom you paid was not only for my life, Lord. It was for everybody's life that is here this day. I'm nobody special. I was just one, Lord, that took hold of your truth. And I've never sold it 20 years and counting. Because it continues to work, not only in my life, but in the lives of others through my life. Father, I thank you for your word of truth that has set me free, free indeed. And by faith here this day, I thank you for those that are listening, Lord, and need help. Jesus, help. They might have walked in thinking it was financial help. They might have walked in feeling lonely, thinking it was a relationship help they needed. But the help they truly need, Lord Father God, is your help. A work that has already been done, and a work that you want to start in somebody's life here this day, Lord. For those that have not been saved yet, right there where you're at, right there where you're at, I just want you to repeat after me. Amen. We're going to do a sinner's prayer. See, when you say this prayer, this is where the blood just comes in and forgives you of everything. It's what takes place when you give your life to the Lord. He who is spotless, perfect in every way, enters your life and starts cleansing and washing everything that the enemy has done. Right there where you're at, just repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross, and through dying on the cross, your precious blood was shed. I also believe that you rose again on the third day. And Jesus, right now, I want you to enter my life, my heart, as Lord and Savior of my life. I want the plan of the Father that countered the work of the enemy, that countered sin. Jesus, that you would now enter my life as that precious Lamb. Allow your blood to flow, Lord Father God. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Wipe away all my sins, Lord. Make me clean. Make me whole. And fill me now with what you want to do in and through my life. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you guys. If I can make it, you can make it. Amen. That's why I always share my testimony. I was a messed up individual, but I'm not that same individual no more. Amen. It wasn't good luck. It wasn't mere gold and silver. It was the blood, man. It was the plan of the Father using his Son. Amen. I love you guys. Go and enjoy yourselves today. Remember, if you want to hit the streets, evangelizing, meeting here at the church at 1 o'clock.